will call the meeting to order with the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So the purpose of this meeting is to discuss the Adirondack League guidelines and Department of Health. And I'm gonna turn it right over to Mr. Dean and Mr. Morgan.
Okay, so.
Okay, I just don't like my back to you, but as long as you don't mind.
So, we're in a position right now where all of the component school districts of the Adirondack League are being asked by Wednesday to cast a vote whether or not we can and will support athletics for the fall season. With that said, what I wanted to do was pull together a bunch of information that I am able to provide to you. And then what I do is I'll share my thoughts on where we're at and certainly have conversations in regard to which direction we should head. So the district has been following since March a litany of different guidelines that we're required to follow for COVID. Over the course of the summer, we received a 146-page document that listed all of the different protocols that school districts need to have in place in order to have an opening plan. We went through the process. I've shared a plan with you guys. Social distancing, masks when moving, protocols for all of our transportation, protocols for which facilities in the school we can use, protocols for which activities we're allowed to do in the school. As you're aware, I shared previously, we can't do chorus, we can't do band, because you have to have 12-foot social distancing if you're singing or if you're playing an instrument, because singers and instrument players are considered super spreaders by the Department of Health. So, 12-foot for those folks. PE classes, again, 12-foot social distancing and more physical activities. And even with a 12-foot social distancing PE classes, students have to maintain their masks. So, you know, those are just some of the rules that we've had to follow.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
I want to make sure I heard that correctly. So even in PE with 12-foot distancing, masks are still required?
Yeah. So what happened was recently the New York City Public High School Athletic Association came out with a list of guidelines for fall sports. They took wrestling, competitive cheer, and volleyball off the table. Those three sports were determined to be high risk, but they left on the table soccer, cross country, and golf for opportunities to play in September. They took away all sectionals, regionals, and state championship tournaments. Requirements, I'm not going to read through all of them for you, but there's a bunch of rules that need to be followed to include a maximum of only two spectators per athlete, social distancing required, hand sanitizer, and basically it's going to require a great deal of staff to support anything you do athletically and make sure all those rules are followed. Folks are going to need to sign in for contact tracing, yada, yada, yada.
Visitors, too.
Visitors, everybody.
Yep. Yep.
So, locker rooms can't be used, which is fine. We don't have them anyway. Public restrooms we can't use, so we're actually not even able to use the porta potties because they're considered a public restroom. So people would need to basically plan ahead for you know, those events. We have to collect rosters, got to put a lot of different requirements in place in order to participate. For the specific guidance, face coverings are required when social distancing can't be maintained. They interestingly stipulate 6 feet for social distancing for athletics, which is, you know, counterintuitive to all the other guidance that we're following during the course of the school day, which is, you know, 12 feet for any physical activity. Additionally, they have indicated in their guidance that athletes that choose not to wear a mask because it hinders their competition are able to take them off with no doctor's note. So, you know, if I'm playing soccer, if I'm playing golf, or if I'm playing whatever, and I choose not to wear a mask, I can strip it off and continue to play. Clearly, that raises a real significant concern for me because it runs completely counterintuitive to all the other guidance that we've put in place and heard to ensure that we do our due diligence and best to keep students safe. A lot of rules that are set forth for our coaches as well. Again, the spectator issues. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are different, and don't follow any of the protocols that we were required to put in place for the school year. Basically, after 3 o'clock, most of the rules simply go away. I guess you can't catch COVID after 3. You also can't catch COVID in Walmart or Home Depot, but be that as it may. So questions that I kind of need to answer are, in my opinion, as a superintendent in the interscholastic athletic guidelines, observe the DOH reopening guidelines for schools. No, they don't. I cannot say that any of those guidelines are being met by the guidelines that have been provided for athletics. Can we operate interscholastic athletics in a safe manner for our students and athletes and spectators? I'm going to give you my opinion, and that's no, we can't. Not with the guidelines that have been provided. And then, does the implementation of fall sports pose a concern for continued daily operations of the school? I can tell you what has happened in colleges. As soon as they started sports, they started seeing massive numbers of COVID cases. Take SUNY Albany, right out of the gates, within days after starting lacrosse, they had a massive outbreak on campus. It was all tied back to lacrosse practices. So, those are kind of my concerns. As the person that this is going to fall on, when things go south, I can give you my recommendation, and that is I do not believe that we should or can be playing any athletics this fall safely. Not even with the same amount of safety that, you know, we have in place during the course of the school year. The Wasserman meeting just folded today. sections 8, 9, and 11 have all folded. I'm not sure what's going to happen with the remainder of the schools in the region. I've heard Granville is going to be a no. Corinth is a no. That's kind of where we're at. I asked Keith to come because, you know, like me, I'm a huge supporter of high school sports. I played all through high school. I played in college. Some of my best memories come from playing. And it pains me to even think that this is yet another thing that we're going to take away from our kids. But if you add all of these concerns that I've shared on top of the issues that we're dealing with right now in this district, where we have lost our high school, we're looking at probably $16 million in damage. We don't have commitment for repair. We have several million dollars in damage up here without commitment for repair. We were talking last year about a 20% reduction in the governor's aid. We're already seeing it. We received a 20% reduction in the aid that came for the end of last year, and we're waiting on next aid payment where we're expecting to see a 20% reduction. 20% for us means a $1.7 million delta. We're fortunate in the fact that we have $1 million in surplus coming into this year, almost $1 million in surplus coming into this year. we allocated substantial fund balance last year to this year's budget. So can we limp through financially with that 1.7? Yes, we can, but it's yet another issue for us to deal with. Mr. Redmond, anything you want to share?
Can I just, before you start, Mr. Redmond, Mr. Gee, would you just go down the other pieces of the discussion items, the logistics in regards to the ticket takers, the chaperones that are going to be, so just kind of give us your thought on each of those.
I'll let Keith. Just a quick thing,
when we talked about the high-risk sports, wrestling was designated one of the high-risk sports as well. They haven't really done anything with that, but football was the main one that they moved immediately to March 1st. So football and volleyball and cheering were all moved to March 1st, with the hopes that we could play, you know, golf and cross country if we were able to do so. The ticket taker and the chaperones, the ticket takers, well, we don't have football, so we wouldn't have to worry about them this year. For soccer, we don't have ticket takers. But the two chaperones would be responsible for the list. When a school comes or our kids come for a game, we would have to have lists, rosters of every kid, and then the ticket takers and myself would be responsible for checking in each kid's two guests at the game, and then we would have to make sure that they were socially distanced out here in the field. The families could sit together. They wouldn't have to be social distanced, but we'd have to have marks out there to maintain the social distance with all visitors on both sides. And with soccer, the rule is the spectators have to sit on one side. So we would have to eliminate the bleachers. We wouldn't be able to use the bleachers, I don't believe, and have to maintain that whole side with everybody. You know, there's 15 kids on a team, so you're talking 60 spectators probably to sit on that side and keep them socially distanced as well. So it would be a task for the chaperones to maintain that distance and make sure people had their mask on as well. You know, you can see it as a battle. We really can. When we see the battle in the gym, when people bring water into the gym, they battle that. So it will be difficult. There's no doubt it'll be difficult to maintain all that.
Have they talked about just not allowing spectators though?
It was a thought, but the rule was, and NYSWA came out of the rule with two spectators.
Could be ironically come up with their own rule, because I mean, I'm a parent and I would sacrifice coming to watch my daughter so that she could play. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I feel like that should be a discussion.
Leagues can be more restrictive than the NYSWA rules. So the league can be more restrictive at any time, so we can certainly do that. Sure, it could be done.
I mean, personally, I would sacrifice. I mean, that's about them, not us, right?
Would that be the case for making more strict rules for things like the masks? Like, I mean, because you're going to have every kid take their mask off. Is that something that could be?
Yep. The doctors note, as Mr. D said, a kid could take off the mask and continue to play. But the league can be more restrictive to that rule to maintain that, where we could actually go to the officials and say, yeah, if they take their mask off, they have to come out of the game. And that would have to be decided by the rules, or by the committee, by the superintendents that run the league as well.
The problem we're, one of the many problems we're up against right now, is all this guidance just came out last week. As soon as I got the guidance, I shared it out with you guys. There is no time between now and the 21st to have massive league rule changes. It's not going to happen. If sports occur, they are going to occur with the rules that are in place for fall. They may get changed for winter, they may get changed for spring, but going into fall, those rules are they're not going to be able to be changed. And we've got to have our vote in. I've got to have it in by 7 a.m. on Wednesday morning.
And does the league have to agree to, does everyone have to agree to the same rules, like Gary was saying?
No, it would be a consensus. Everybody would follow.
It's a league decision then.
Yes.
Okay.
On those rules, yes.
Yes. Okay.
Now, some of the league can choose to play, and some can choose not to play as well. That's it. But it does take a minimum of 4 teams to constitute a league, or they wouldn't have games. They wouldn't be able to do it. That's in the Constitution.
That was going to be one of my questions too. Let's say if we said no, but the league voted yes, more voted yes. Does that mean we're out because we said no?
That's a question we're going to have to answer. What would we do as Whitehall? If everyone says yes and we say no, that's going to be a decision that we have to make, or you have to make, to say,
so
well, we'll take our chances to play, or
we
don't play.
We already have 2 teams out of 13 that said no.
Or they get another league? No,
is it a majority?
Well, I think Grandma's looking at 6
tonight,
though.
There's no
they are
outside of
but,
the
play. It's already going to be. It's going to be in Grandville.
So what's the what's the vote then?
The vote that I need, the answer I need from you guys is, do we move forward with sports as they're presented, or do we not?
Sorry, I mean, is it, with the league vote, it's not just a majority?
No, every individual school is going to do their individual thing, because Whitehall cannot be compelled to do what Granville or Fort Hamm or what Georgia is doing, nor can any other school district be compelled to do, you know, what we are. So everybody has their own decision, and those decisions impact the overall team.
So is there too late for them to join a yellow league? Like, say, if we got out and, say, Waterford wanted to get in our league, it's too late for them to get in our league, correct?
And the rule is right now that we're only playing the local schedule. There's no outside the local schedule play this year.
So we wouldn't be playing, we typically would play some schools in the Washington League, we'd be playing some schools in Fulton.
Vermont.
Right, but going on.
No, just playing our own league.
That's it. That would be, that's the rule for all of the sports right now, just to play in league.
So there's, it's already going to be only in league, and Granville's out, Corinth is out.
Wasserman's done.
I will tell you this, and I know it's a superintendent and board's decision, but the Adirondack League ADs are in fear of this happening. That if we go with sports, it's going to happen, it's going to blow up, we're going to have COVID cases, and then our kids that play sports are going to bring it home to the elementary kids. And then it's going to spread through the elementary school. So realistically, the safe thing to do right now is to put it off until March. That is, like, the majority of the ADs feel that that is the safest for us as a group, because you know who's going to have to deal with it when it comes down or somebody gets sick. You know, God forbid that there's something really bad happens and we lose a student, then we're all going to get terrible.
I'm thinking that we're being played everywhere, though. I mean, not schools, so it's different for schools because we're viable. But there, I am seeing soccer league being all over the place right now.
And it could be reckless as well. So right now, we know for sure that the Washington League has shut down for the entire fall. The WAC is coming down with their decision today, which looks like they may shut down for the fall as well. And I'm not sure about the Foothills. We haven't heard much about the Foothills yet. But I do believe everybody's going to make a decision by Wednesday.
And is this just for fall sports?
Correct.
So we could choose, reconsider for winter sports.
You know, if all of a sudden things get better, we're going to consider this by
season.
Okay. Are we still thinking about having football in spring?
Yeah, so
right,
these sports right now that would get moved to March 1st. And then if you think about it, you know, is there any way that you're going to play golf and run cross country March 1st or play football in March 1st? So, you know, it's going to create some more havoc down the line, because then they're going to overlap with spring sports, which they have moved that start date to April 19th. Well, we can make that work, because the state has allowed these kids to participate in up to 4 sports this year. So if they're playing football in March and baseball season starts in April, there'll be that 2-week gap where they're doing both. So it's going to be up to me to schedule their practices. Hopefully we can find a place to practice so that these kids would be allowed to do that and not have the conflict of choosing football, baseball, soccer, softball, because it's, as you know, it's the same kids that play these sports. You need them from every sport, because if we lose a sport, we may never get it back. You know, if they decide they're going to just do softball, we may never get soccer back. But we will, as a group, we will make that work for them, and we can't take any more away from them.
One of the things, you know, that we've been talking about, 1 and 2 under items of discussion, but 3 and 4 are, for me, is a big thing. If we go ahead and say yes to some of these sports, how about all of these other things that the kids are not able to do?
That's part of what Keith and I had talked about, is what's going to happen with the parents who's, you know, are huge supporters of theater and music, and we're telling them during the school day, it's a no, you can't do anything as a district with theater, we can't do anything with music, but we can do sports. It sends a bad message. You know, the equity piece is definitely an issue.
Because it sounds to me like even under finances, we would potentially be spending more money than we originally intended.
Well,
a 20% reduction.
Yeah, we're going to be spending the coach's salary for a bridge season. We're definitely going to need additional chaperones. There's no way to cover the typical chaperones that we use. And then we're also responsible for providing PPE any matches and all of the practices. So hand sanitizer needs to be there, masks, and hand sanitizer, mask, gloves.
And the spray. Everything would have to be clean. Everything. So if you know there's a soccer ball that comes out of play, that's gotta be clean before it goes back into play. You know, football comes out of play, that's gotta be clean before it goes back into play. So there's a whole bunch of expense coming with it. And the equity piece I think is huge. You know, how do you tell two kids that or two sports that they can play and other sports can't? You know, kids are going to say, well, God, Mr. Redmond's the golf coach, his golf team's playing, well, how come the football team can't play, or how come the soccer team can't play? So you're going to have that battle the whole time. You know, the equity piece is just not fair to the kids right now.
You know, the other thing we need to consider here is our high schools, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be gone for a, you know, a period of time, probably a relatively long period of time. Our high school students are usually here, and they walk right outside and go to practice. Most of our kids don't have vehicles, and they're not going to have somebody that's going to be able to drive them to practices. They have no ability to pick kids up on buses. So how will we even think about getting our student-athletes back to campus for practice? You know, to start before it gets dark. You know, it gets dark at 4:30 pretty soon. Time change happens.
And then with later in that fall season, we also have that time change where we fall back an hour. And the majority of our league could not get a bus this year until 4 or 4:15 to get to any contest. And as you know, it's dark by 7:15 now, and by the time we get anywhere, which is an hour and 15 minutes, you're looking at even a shortened time to play, if they could even play at all. Like cross country, they get there, they still have to walk a 3.1-mile course, which takes an hour. So by the time they get back and they stagger start them because they can't start them together, they're going to need 25 timers at the start line and stagger kids running with masks on the entire time as well. It's just an unfortunate thing that we're in right now, but if we're going to do what's best for kids, it may be to postpone until the winter season begins in January.
There's nothing positive. It gets better. Nothing positive about this. This is, you know, not having sports is terrible for kids. Having sports is potentially dangerous. You know, this is genuinely one of those you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't situations. But, you know, my recommendation has to be to err on the side of safety. And I do not believe that we can safely put students, certainly on a soccer pitch, and I'm concerned about runners as well. So, hopefully, you know, I hope winter season, we can pull something off. We can find a gym. I don't know if they're going to let us do basketball.
When would we revisit this for winter?
As soon as the league gives us some dates that they're going to need information by.
So the league is going to come,
yeah,
come back
assume,
and say later.
I'd assume probably the beginning of November we start those discussions.
Yeah, we have another meeting Thursday as well, another meeting at 4:30, and I'm sure that'll all be discussed, and then timetables will be set as to when we can talk about the winter sports, because it has to be done way before it is now to make it work. We got to get kids signed up, and it's difficult when they're not here in school.
Yeah.
You know, what I can tell you is the regional superintendents, many are providing their boards for the same recommendation. Doesn't mean the boards are going to, you know, follow the recommendation. And again, you know, my ego is not such that I'm going to be, you know, crying myself to sleep if you guys choose not to follow the recommendation. But I have to make it, you know, professionally and for myself more, you know, to make sure we're not putting each other at risk.
Do we have students that would be on a path to any fall sports scholarships at this point?
Yes, I would say that there are some. I'm not sure about Division I scholarship, but I do believe there are some kids that will go on to play at colleges at some point, yes.
How would it affect them?
I'm not sure that it would. I think the colleges are in the same boat that we are, and usually by this time, kids have been recognized, and they're already been talked to, in their, yeah, especially in their junior years when it begins for them. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Colleges have done their due diligence on their part, too. They knew this was coming, So their scouts have been out, and they've already recognized their kids. So we can't have a kid play right now. It's not like they were forgotten. The college right, still
yeah,
want that kid.
I know,
so.
Yeah. That concerned me, so I was thinking of that. Does anyone have any questions for anyone?
You know, all I bring you guys is bad news. I'm gonna start wearing black.
I'm gonna
care of myself.
Hopefully we'll get through the winter, and that's when it's gonna really...
So this decision then is just for fall sports?
Yeah.
So it is really, at this point, it's a vote within the Adirondack. So if we opt out and the league opts in to continue participating, where are we at that point?
They play with us.
There would be no effect to us.
You know, this is not going to be regional. This is not going to be state tournaments.
You're going to end up playing the same three schools.
I think that's right. We talked about that.
It's going to be impossible for homeschool to pull this off of a hybrid schedule, too.
Correct.
They've got the same issue we've got. Two days a week or 3 days a week, right?
Yeah.
And all kids that are at home,
right.
And now they've got to make it to school for practice and do this stuff, and now they're going to ban them when they've been in before and make some things that work. I can't believe it's legal to even do it.
You know, I have to be honest, Chris. I was dumbfounded when the section came out with their guidance. I really thought the section would say this is just, too much risk. And, first and foremost, I thought, this would say no. The fact that they, said okay with sanctions just shot the daylights out of me.
They want us to be the bad one.
That's right. Well, the first section, too, doesn't want to be the one to take things away from kids. Because they did it once already. So that's the fear that, the repercussions will be back on NYSA and section, too. So let's put it on the schools, later on the schools.
I guess if you got to find a silver lining in this, is, if we say no, if you say no to fall sports, our fall sport student-athletes played last year. Our winter sports student-athletes played last year. Our spring kids lost out. So we're hopeful that by spring things are cleared up, with some level of certainty, and those spring sport kids that lost their junior year will be able to participate.
I mean, I think if we say we'll wait, revisit it for winter, at least there's still a possibility that they can play, whereas if they play now, someone's getting sick, and that's it.
But here's the other thing. If they start and play, and then it gets terminated at that point, that season is done.
It's
will not be revisited.
Yeah.
Correct.
So,
they will lose that.
But what if some schools do start and play? They're not going to move it to spring.
Correct.
So then we don't get it. If Fort Yan and some of those schools that are going to say yeah.
So there was a memo on that last week from EdDOP that said they were going to have to get clarification on that. So if they did start for 2 weeks and teams opted out, but some did, would they be able to go back and play that second fall season in March? So there's no clarification on that.
So no teams would have a second fall season?
Potentially.
But not necessarily?
Correct.
So if we're a no, we might be just saying there's no soccer this year. Even if...
We won't be the only no.
No, I understand that.
Yes, but that's absolutely right.
That's what I'm asking.
It's a possibility that all these spring sports don't happen.
Right. But if they start to happen with some of the teams, that means they're not going to move those spring sports to the...
Oh, yeah, we can still do that. We have...
Just
we can
with
still
the ones that,
yes.
did, that said no?
Correct. Because even though moving them to the spring, there still will be no championships, no league championships, there will still be no sectionals, and no state play. So they've already told us that. They've already been eliminated. So even if they're moved to March, those three things will still not happen. So if we choose to have soccer with six teams in the spring, those teams will just play the interleague schedule and we'll have nothing else after that. Because technically, it's really only going to be a five-week season.
And the other thing that I think we should be considering is, regardless if COVID is gone, we're sitting here in the spring, regardless of what the league may want to do, we can call these intramurals or whatever we want to call them as individual school districts and still play. If COVID is gone, even if the league says no, we can't do soccer, we can still play those games.
But if we got halfway through a season now in the fall, a kid gets sick, that's the end of it. That's it.
Yeah. If our league decides as a group that's what we're going to do, that could be the end of it. Yes.
And you're all aware of the circuit breaker the governor's put in place regionally. So we hit 3%, I believe it was, in the region for positive COVID cases, schools get shut down.
I really think there's a very big risk of starting sports, you know, the Albany region, Saratoga region, us, we're all the same. And if, you know, we start seeing a bunch of COVID cases happening, our elementary school gets shut down, and our little ones don't get to school. So everybody's relegated to online learning at that point. So there's a lot of risk.
So, Mr. Redman, your recommendation is?
I would say to postpone the fall until that March 1st. Absolutely. I think that's what's safe for all of our kids right now.
Mr. Dean?
I think we're just going to scramble like crazy to try to put this together.
I agree. You know, we can deal with all of the ancillary stuff. We can figure out ways to, you know, make all of the spectator stuff work. We can figure out ways how to make transportation work. I just don't think we can keep kids safe. I think that's our number one concern.
It's just hard when you see, like, our kids, unless you have a parent that's going to drive you 45 minutes, which I'm doing my son so he can play baseball right now, they don't have the same opportunity because, you know, you look on Facebook and kids are playing sports all over the place down in that area because they have all these youth sports and different things set up, their churches, this and that, and I just feel bad for the kids in Whitehall. There's no youth, there's nothing right now for here, kids here.
You know,
there's just nothing.
We can't even let youth sports come on our campus.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, even our youth league is not doing anything, and I just...
There's nothing for them.
There's absolutely nothing for Whitehall kids right now, and the high school kids can't even go to school, so it's just heartbreaking to see all this.
Mm-hmm. It is. Liability is the whole thing. I mean, the UNC 5 would have that, but I mean, the insurance companies and stuff, so it is...
There's a lot of youth
leagues
doing things right now.
Right, but I'm just talking about someone here to get sued now. Nowadays, people are stepping back, and it's too bad, but that's...
Well, you know what's going to happen. One kid gets sick, and then, like you're seeing on college campuses, then all of a sudden there's 500 positive tests.
Rockport just had 20 reps. They stayed away from the program just right left.
Does anyone have any other questions, comments from Mr. D or Mr. Redman?
I think it's a tough decision to make, but I think it's one that we have to make. I just assume give up fall sports and take a chance on reorganizing in the winter sports.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to add that this certainly is not an easy decision for any of us to make, and there's none of us here that want to take this away from the kids, not one of us. And you guys, you admin people, are living this daily because they don't even have the high school kids on campus or anywhere near campus. So it's difficult. I mean, when we sit back, we're not living yet like you guys are. But this is not a decision that we're going to be able to take lightly. So
I love sports and I like watching the kids participate, but we have to keep them safe.
Yeah. Is there anything else you need to add, or?
No. Basically, what I need from you guys is, or basically, to tell me where we're
yes.
at. Because I need to ask for the section tomorrow, or for the complete tomorrow. And it's either we're in favor of fall sports, or we're opposed. Like this one, fall sports.
Okay.
Let's assume everything is the way that it is. COVID's not better, it's not worse. Do you feasibly think that we could do sports, all the sports in the spring?
That's a great question. I mean, it's so weather dependent. You know, March 1st to April 19th is just going to be so weather dependent. And I can tell you this, we have calls in for turf fields right now to get access to them. We have them 15 miles from here. We have one 13 miles from here, but there's just so many more restrictions to go over there 13 miles to use Castleton's than it would be to use the Golden Goals turf. So we have questions in. We're just waiting for more answers. So if we can use those fields and we can get kids there, it will definitely be feasible.
A lot of times we start baseball though late night, right,
with
the rain.
Yeah, I mean, April 19th is not a bad time to actually start the real traditional spring sports, as you know. We're not even outside playing by then, so... We can make do with that. It's just trying to squeeze that March 1st to April 19th. It's not going to be easy, but nothing's been easy for us for the last year and a half. And we'll do the best we can to make it work for every kid. You know, but I've been here 31 years, and sports have been a huge part of my life, watching kids play and make sure, you know, that they're able to play, and we'll do our best to make sure that we can get them in there to play. It's not like they're losing the fall sports yet. There's still that opportunity, and hopefully they'll get that. It will be one crazy spring for parents if they have travel kids all over the place for games, but it will be crazy, but it'll be worth it. If we're able to do it safely and not have to worry about kids becoming sick, it'll be worth it.
Anybody else?
Ready for a vote?
Sure.
Okay, so we are looking for a motion to vote in favor.
I guess you want a motion to opt out of the fall sports.
Opt out of fall sports. Okay. Thank you. Okay. A motion to opt out of fall sports. Do I have that motion?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. First, Mr. Armstrong. And second, Mr. Baker. All in favor of opting out of fall sports?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Carried.
Well, thank you. And this is certainly not the route that we want things to go. It's just not positive. It's yet another loss for our student body. It's another loss of an opportunity for our faculty to be able to work with our kids. Because we have a lot of kids in school, people in sports, if there wasn't a lot of sports, kids probably wouldn't eat. If we can kind of keep our student body healthy, keep our community healthy, I think we're doing the right thing.
Just a few more months. You know, hopefully just a few more months.
And flu season comes, let's drop one.
So I will look for a motion to adjourn. This point.
So moved.
Mr. LaChapelle, do I have a second?
Second.
Mrs. Norton, all in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Thank you for coming.
Much appreciated.
Thank you.